like to call this meeting of the Conference Committee on the Operating Budget and Mental Health Appropriations Bills, House Bill 72 and House Bill 73 to order. It is 9:03 p.m. on Saturday, April 25, 2015. We're going to continue our work on open budget items passed in the motion sheets distributed to members earlier today, dated April 25. We will start with Department of Administration. Senator Kelly.
I move that the committee adopt the following in the Department of Administration's budget. Item number 1, Senate. Item number 6, House. Item number 7, House. Item number 8, Senate. Item number 9, House. Item number 10, House.
Is there any objection? And seeing no objection, this motion passes. Senator Kelly?
I move that the committee reopen item 3 in the Department of Administration.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, item 3 is back before the committee.
I move that the committee resume its action adopting the Senate intent on item number 3.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, we have rescinded the adoption of the Senate intent for item number 3.
I move that for item number 3, the committee adopt the House.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, this motion passes. This action closes conferenceable items for the Department of Administration's budget. Next, go to Department of Fish and Game. Senator Kelly.
I move that the committee reopen item 10 and 25 in the Department of Fish and Game budget.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, items 10 and 20 are back before the committee. Senator Kelly.
I move that the committee rescind its action adopting Senate plus $200,000 on item 10 and adopt the Senate on item 25.
Is there any objection?
Just briefly, Mr. Chair.
We have an objection by Representative Garrett. Representative Garrett, speak to your objection.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for explanation, I can see that you've chosen the Senate version, which is a $500,000 decrement to the Marine Mammal Program. And what services will that decrement come out of? Or $394,000, I guess.
Do you identify the final action?
Is that a question?
Good question. Representative Teal?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question?
Sure. Mr. Teal, there's been with the almost $400,000 decrement for the Marine Mammal Program, what is the intention there? What are the services that won't be provided?
Take any of these. Back in order, we'll ask Mr. Armstrong, staff to Senator Kelly, to explain. James question. Armstrong. Representative Guerra, could you repeat your question?
Staff to Senator Kelly, Representative Guerra, the Commissioner of Fish and Game asked for this amendment. He was out of town for 2 weeks. We discussed it with the House, and it was fine. So this is at the request of the department.
Thank you. I remove the objection.
Representative Guerra removed his objection. Is there further objection? Hearing no objection, we've rescinded our previous actions on items 10 and 20. Senator Kelly.
I move that for item 10, the committee adopt Senate plus 105.9 thousand, and that for item 25, the committee adopt the House.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, this motion passes. This action again closes the Department of Fish and Game's budget. We will now go to the Department of Health and Social Services. Senator Kelly.
I move that the committee adopt the following in the Department of Health and Social Services budget. Item number 1, House for both fund sources. Item number 2, Senate. Item number 3, Senate. Item 4, House for both fund sources. Item 5, House. Item 6, Senate for both fund sources. Item 7, House. Item 8, House minus 50,000. Item 9, Senate for both fund sources. Item 10, Senate for both fund sources. Item 11, Senate for both fund sources. Item 12, Senate for both fund sources. Item 13, Senate. Item 14, House for both fund sources. Item 15, Senate. Item 16, add new intent to read, it is the intent of the legislature that reductions to the Juneau Pioneer Home be taken from the contractual line rather than from the personal services line to ensure that staffing levels for the direct care are sufficient.
Is there any objection?
There is objection.
We have an objection from Representative Guerra. Please speak to your objection.
Oh, this is going to surprise you, but item number five, Mr. Chair.
Item number five.
Chair, item number five addresses the state's foster care system. The number of foster youth in the state have grown in the last 5 years from roughly 1,700 to almost 2,500. The staffing shortages are chronic. In a recent letter I received from the Office of Children's Services, they describe themselves as an agency in crisis. And I don't want you to sympathize for the agency. I want you to think about the children the agency isn't able to serve. 3 years ago, we received a study showing that OCS was over 50 staff short. Since then, the number of foster youth have grown to the point where they're probably 80 or 90 staff short. I recognize we can't afford 80 or 90 staff, but without staff at OCS, we're leaving kids in foster care way too long. It's costing the state more money. We have 849 foster youth waiting for an adoptive home because there are not the social workers to work on those cases, and those kids are languishing in the foster care system. That is costing the state more money because we pay on a daily rate for every single day a child is in foster care, and it is costing the child because that's every day that a child is without a loving home. Without social workers in the system, the needed number of social workers, all you're doing is exacerbating what we have right now, which is a 40% homelessness rate for foster youth. That's 20% actually homeless when they come out of foster care and 20% who couch surf. I consider that homelessness. You're exacerbating a 27% incarceration rate for foster youth. These youth are children who we are the guardians of. When we take them out of their home, we become the guardian. And to leave a system there that the agency itself has just described as one in crisis, to leave kids languishing in foster care so they bounce between 5, 10, and 15 homes, to not have the social workers to get a child into a loving home, is just going to cost the state more, both in money, actually in crime costs, in homelessness costs, and frankly, in terms of all of our moral fiber. This is not a reasonable approach to a system that's in crisis that is producing a 40% homelessness rate for our foster youth. So the Senate number, which was money that frankly was freed up from some federal funds the department had found, was a no-cost item. We were able to take in $3 million of additional TANF funds, and of those $3 million, we were going to use $2 million to help hire some social workers. That was the right thing to do, to start approaching hiring the staff that we know we have to hire, that everybody in this building knows we have to hire. So I can't support this, and I'm pretty disappointed by it. Thank you.
Further discussion? Is your objection maintained?
It is.
Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Garrett.
No.
Senator Holson.
No.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Representative Newman.
Yes.
Senator Kelly.
Yes.
House, two yeas, one nay. Senate, two yeas, one nay.
Motion passes. Action item passes. Is there further objection?
There is, Mr. Chair.
Any further objection? Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a point of inquiry on number 13. As I understand number 13, I understand we have to use abbreviated words, but we basically estimate the amount we're going to have to pay for the people who need Medicaid services. If it's more people and they incur more costs, we have to pay more. If it's less people, we pay less. And so my understanding of the cut in of the larger decrement in number 13 is just basically our estimate of what we're going to have to pay over the next year in Medicaid, and if it's less, we pay less, and if it's more, we pay more. Is that number 13?
Mr. Teel?
I don't know what to say. The motion is $20 million versus $11 million, essentially. House, right. Senate positions, and you're correct in saying that if you cut too much, there may be a supplemental. You're also correct in saying it's an estimated amount. So it's impossible to say at this point whether a supplemental would be necessary under either of these options.
Thank you. Through the chair, this is what I meant to ask for Mr. Taylor, if I may.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Let me say it more simply. This is our estimate of what we're going to have to pay for Medicaid services. We're obligated to pay for those services. If it turns out to be a higher number, we'll have to pay for it. If it turns out to be a lower number, we'll get some savings. We're just estimating here. Is that fair?
It is.
Thank you. I withdraw my objection on that one.
Representative Guerra's objection on action item number 13 in the Health and Social Services budget has been withdrawn. Is there further objection? Hearing none, this action closes the conferenceable items for the Department of Health and Social Services budget. Next we go to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Senator Kelly.
I move that the committee adopt the following: the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities budget. Item 33, House. Item 38, House. Item 39, House. And item 48, House.
Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, this motion passes. This recloses the conferenceable items in the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities budget. Next to University of Alaska, Senator Kelly.
I move that the conference committee adopt the following in the University of Alaska's budget. Item number 1, Senate. Item number 2, Senate. Item number 3, Senate. Item number 4, Senate.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, this motion passes. This action closes the conferenceable items for the University of Alaska's budget. Department of Education and Early Development, Senator Kelly.
I move that the committee adopt the following in the Department of Education and Early Development's budget. Item number 1, no selection is required. Decisions will be made in language items 6 and 11. Item 8, House for both fund sources. Item 9, Senate plus $550,000. Item 10, Senate. Item 12, Senate for both fund sources. Item 13, Senate. Item 14, Senate. Item 15, Senate. Item 16, House. Item 17, House. Item 18, House. Item 19, Senate. Item 20, Senate. Item 22, Senate. Item 24, Senate.
Is there any objection?
Objection briefly, Mr. Chair.
We have an objection from Representative Guerra. Speak to your objection.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding of item number 1, but we'll listen to it in the language section, is that on top of the $32 million of grant money that's already been cut in this budget, that another roughly $18 or $16 million is going to be cut on top of that. I'll wait for the explanation, but if that's the result of it, I will object. And I'll remove my objection for now.
So Representative Guerra has removed his objection to item number 1. Is there further objection? Hearing no objection, this motion passes. This action closes the conferenceable items for Department of Education and Early Development's budget. Language section, Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, but we are going to discuss the language section at some point. Is that correct?
Going to the language section right now, Representative Guerra.
I move that the committee adopt the following in the language section of the budget. Item 1, Senate. Item 2, 3, and 4, no selection is required. Item 5, Senate. Item 7 and 8, no selection is required. Item 9, Senate. Item 12, no selection is required.
Is there any objection?
There is.
We do have an objection by Representative Garrett. Representative Garrett, speak to your objection.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's my understanding that the education cuts in this budget are in items number 6 and 11, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. And since this is the first time I've seen all of this language, and it's pretty complex, I would appreciate an explanation and an explanation of what that total cut in addition to the $32 million in grant money that's been cut is being proposed.
Mr. Teal.
Representative Guerra, the items chosen so far are 5, which deals with crime victims' intent language. You had number, that was number 1 with crime victim or crime victim rights. Number 5, which deals with federal and other program receipts, and that would require that. It would eliminate going to the LBNA committee for additional federal receipt authority for Medicaid expansion. You'd have to go to the full legislature. And item number 9 is shared taxes, and it moves the aviation fuel out of the general funds because it, after working with departments of revenue and transportation.
Wait, Representative Garrett, did you have questions on items number 6 and number 11?
Yeah. Through the chair, the beginning questions were on items number 6 and 11, and
they have not been addressed yet.
So those are open?
At this point.
Okay. And I thank you. Through the chair, I do have a few more objections.
Mr. Chairman.
I'll yield to Representative Senator Olson.
On that point, is it true that $32 million are considered being cut, and that's yet to be decided, Mr. Teal?
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Eddies. Back on the record, Representative Guerra.
So, Chair, I object to number 5. We've had 26 hearings on Medicaid expansion and reform this year in this legislature. More hearings on anything other than possibly marijuana, which we may have had 125 hearings on. I missed a few of those. But I believe the department has demonstrated that they're able to save $600 million in state money over the next 6 years. And to drag this out when we're in a fiscal crisis, when Medicaid reform and expansion can save us that kind of money, that would free up money for education, would free up money for children's and senior services. And item number 5 that blocks Medicaid expansion without a bill, I think, is the wrong way to go. Is the wrong way to go when it could save us $600 million in state money.
Are you through?
I do have another item I have a question on, Mr. Chair.
With item number 5?
Mr. Chair, I'm trying to keep track of the pages here.
Briefities.
Please. We're back in. Is there further discussion on number five?
No.
Is the objection still maintained?
Yes.
Objection on number five is still maintained. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Olson.
No.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Representative Garrett.
No.
Senator Kelly.
Yes.
Representative Newman.
Yes.
House, 2 yeas, 1 nay. Senate, 2 yeas, 1 nay.
That completes action on item number five. Is there further discussions?
Briefities.
Was there further objection on with, that was item number five, on action items number 1 and 9? Hearing no objection, motion passes. This action closes items on items number 1, 5, and 9 in the language section of the budget.
I'm sorry, I do have an objection just so I can read it, Mr. Chair. On number 9.
Representative Garrett, we're moving along here, so we'll allow it to objection still on number 9 by Guerra.
Thanks, Chair. I'm trying to keep up as quickly as possible, but this is the first time I've seen these cut sheets. So number 9 addresses the issue, as I understand it, as to whether or not the local communities are going to this year get the cruise ship revenue that they're statutorily entitled to, or whether that's going to be delayed this year, and I actually can't tell what is being proposed on this in item number 9.
I believe you're on the wrong action item. That would be item number 10. Item number 9. Can you explain item number 9, Mr. Teal?
Item number 9 affects aviation fuel. And in the House version, that was listed as coming from the general funds, $200,000. Distributed to communities. It turns out that the $200,000 is not actually general funds because aviation tax collections are dedicated to be used only at airports. So the Senate language takes it away from the general fund portion, moves it down into Section B, and says that $200,000 will be refunded from the surcharge. So same money, same communities getting the money, we're just identifying the proper source of that money.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You're right. I was concerned about number 10, so.
Well, do you remove your objection on item number 9?
I remove my objection on number 9.
Okay. Is there further objections? Hearing no objection, this action closes items number 1, 5, and 9 in the language section of the budget. Take a brief at ease. Back in order. Senator Kelly.
Thank you,
I move that the committee adopt the following in the language section of the budget. Item number 10, I move amendment 29-GH1780/F.A.7 Wallace 41615, which includes the original house language and a new subsection.
I object for the purpose of explanation. Mr. Teal, please describe the amendment for the committee.
Mr. Chairman, on amendment F.A.7, section C was included in the House. It pays the community's ports of call, if you want to call them that, their share of what's commonly called the cruise ship head tax. Section D is new, and under section D, those payments would be prorated to the ports of call if the balance in the fund plus calendar year 15 revenue is insufficient to pay all communities their share of collections. It's prorating language.
I remove my objection. Is there further objection?
Objection for a question, Mr. Chair.
We do have an objection by Representative Guerra. Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Mr. Teal, in section D, I can understand prorating if the cruise ship revenue, head tax revenue that comes in from cruise ships is less than $15.5 million. But there's no other appropriation from this money somewhere else, right? It's if the money comes in from the cruise ship head tax, it goes to the community. If the money doesn't come in, it gets prorated, but there's no other appropriation from the cruise ship head tax that I don't see in this amendment that I should be concerned about, is there?
Representative Guerra, through the chair, there is no appropriation here. It simply prorates that $15.5 million. There may be other appropriations of the head tax money if there, generally speaking, if the port of call money is distributed and there's money left over that may be appropriated to communities for capital projects. But this section makes no appropriation.
Senator McKinnon, do you have a comment?
Mr. Chairman, we have a little bit of an issue inside of this account, which is why the Senate had originally flagged it for discussion or further discussion. We're advancing money before the cruise ship tax money comes into us, and it was overestimated last year in the receipts to other communities. This is saying if the 1550 comes in, it goes out to the ports of call, and if it doesn't come in, it's prorated. And to my knowledge, there's no other places that this particular money is used to somehow short those communities. But the problem becomes an issue when the state is facing a fiscal deficit or drawing from our savings, in that we are advancing general funds and anticipating and waiting for those cruise ship head taxes. So at least I will be continuing to follow the issue and try to see if we can resolve that next legislative session.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I remove my objection.
Senator Olson.
Actually, I was just going to say that it's my understanding that it is an internal issue that we're trying to take care of, and that there were no real objections from the communities that were involved.
Correct. Thank you, Senator Olson. Any further comment? Any other further objections? Hearing and seeing none, this motion passes. We will call a brief at ease to distribute amendment FA-17. Call the meeting back to order. Senator Kelly?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt the following in the language section. I move Amendment 29-GH1780/F.A.17 Wallace 42515, which addresses language items 6 and 11.
Object.
I will object for the purpose of explanation. Mr. Teal, please describe the amendment to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, to do that, I think it's probably easiest if the members and the public, if they have it, look at the spreadsheet rather than the amendment itself.
Spreadsheet at the back of the amendment?
That spreadsheet goes in a more chronological order than the amendment itself does. So on that spreadsheet, the $1.249 billion shown on line 1 is a projected balance of the Public Education Fund before any amendments to the FY15 operating budget, and that amount was intended to pay foundation and pupil transportation costs in FY16. As you know, we forward fund a year. Lines 2 and 3 reflect the action in Amendment FA17 on lines 21 and 22. So that if you look at your amendment, you'll see that that is replacing $1.02 billion with $77 million. And that reduces the deposit in FY15 that was made to the Public Education Fund to $77 million. That eliminates the deficit for FY15. And that $1.125 billion reduction gives an FY15 year-end balance of $123 million, which shows as the beginning FY16 balance on line 4. Line 5A shows the full projected FY16 foundation amount, $1.168 billion. On line 5B, it shows a proration percentage, and that's 98.59%. Line 5C shows that the formula would be short-funded by about $16.5 million if it were prorated to that 98.59%. Line 5D shows that the amount distributed in FY16 to school districts via the foundation formula would be about $1.152 billion. And when you add line 6 to that, which is pupil transportation costs of $79.2 million, you get a total of $1.231 billion, which is shown on line 7. So with the FY15 balance, which comes from line 4, the FY16 balance needs to be about $1.108 billion, as shown on line 8. That money comes from two sources. On line 9, you'll see that $157 million comes from ASAP, or the In-State Gasoline Fund, code 1229. And that corresponds to lines 3 and 4 on Amendment FA17. Line 10 is an estimate of the general funds needed to fund the formula, the foundation formula, at 98.59% of full funding. And that's shown in FA17 on lines 5 through 10. So the effective date of the FY16 deposit changes from December 1st to July 1st. The reason for that is that when there was a balance carried forward, the cash flow would have survived with the December 1st date. Now it needs to be the first day of the fiscal year so that the money is on hand for distribution. And on the back, turning to the amendment itself now, on lines 11 through 13, Section E, that's contingency language that reduces funding dollar for dollar if the $157 million appropriated in Section C is unavailable. So bottom line here is that the FY15 appropriation to the Public Education Fund is rescinded in order to fill or the fiscal gap, eliminate the fiscal gap. And in 16, education is funded at 98.59% of full funding. And that would leave you with a zero balance in the Public Education Fund at the end of FY16.
I don't know my objection. Is there other objections?
There is, Mr. Chair. Objection for explanation.
President Guerra has an objection. Speak to your objection.
Thank you. First, Mr. Teal, just to follow this, number one, this is going to, am I correct, this is going to eliminate all forward funding in the budget? There's no more forward funding? That the forward funding balance is now zero?
That's correct.
Okay. And then another question through the chair.
Representative Guerra.
I noticed that a lot of this affects the current budget year that we're in, so the budget we passed last year. Does the change in FY15 education funding at all affect the amount that was appropriated to schools during FY15?
Through the chair, it does not.
Okay. Thank you. And then through the chair, my understanding is that instead of fully funding what was passed last year, we're funding it at 98.5%, which that is, if I'm correct, a $16.4 million reduction in K through 12 funding on top of the $32 million reduction that that was made in an earlier budget. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that's correct.
All right. Thank you, through the chair. I think I understand what's happening. I've got two objections. Number one, by forward funding, we had seed money of over $1 billion to help us get through tough years. In this budget, the legislature is eating up that full $1.2 billion, so it's never available to help us get through these lean times in future years. If we maintained that $1.2 billion, we would be able to, in some education account, we'd be able to use $50 million here, $50 million there, until we find our way out of this fiscal crisis. By spending that whole $1.2 billion, we've now taken away a tool that we have for adequately funding education. The second objection I have is this $16.4 million reduction on top of the $32 million that's already been reduced is over a $48 million reduction in funding for our public schools. I think that's a devastating amount of funding cuts. And I totally understand that we're in a fiscal crisis, but there are smarter ways to get around it. We could get around it by saving the $600 million Medicaid expansion would provide in savings. And I'll keep this brief, but we could also get around it if proposals that have been in this legislature to fix a glaring problem in our oil tax law were fixed. Right now, the state is paying out $650 million over the next 2 years, more in tax credits to oil companies than we're getting back in production tax revenue. That's the big hole in the state's budget.
Mr. Chairman, I've had it with the tax credits discussion. It's almost always disingenuous. They take a tiny piece of the revenue that we get.
Back in.
Brief it is.
Calls back into session. Representative Garrett, do you have another question?
No, Mr. Chair. I don't have another question, but I think with a total $48 million in education cuts this year, that is close to a 5% cut in education funding. You know, if you want a recipe for parents to move out of the state because they see no public commitment to education, this is the recipe, and we just have a philosophical disagreement on this one. This is not the place to cut. There are other places to cut. Thank you.
Still have a question. The $32 million or $34 million referenced by Representative Guerra was money that was outside the funding formula. Was that reduced by Governor Walker before? Was that part of his budget recommendations, the money outside the formula to be removed?
It was. That was part of the governor's original budget. And so, you know, it's a complicated question, but $32 million can't really be seen as a reduction. It was an increase, a planned increase that did not occur, as opposed to a reduction.
Thank you. Senator
Kelly? I was going to make that one point, that it was a planned increase. I like the way David put it. The other thing is that the $16.5 million is also anticipating a planned increase in the $50 BSA that we voted in last year. It's not a one-to-one reduction. We were just trying to figure out some general numbers. Last year, when oil was at $120 per barrel, we voted for a $50 million BSA increase and some additional increases to the BSA. I don't think we would have voted that in at $45. So what we're doing essentially is pulling back the increases. We're not really cutting. The other thing is that the forward funding of education, we have not spent that money. I think Representative Guerra misspoke there. I think it was just an accident. That money isn't actually being spent. We're just not recharging it. We in most of the budgets, we would then take an additional $1.1 million or $2 billion, whatever we thought it was going to be, and forward fund that a year. We won't be doing that this year because we don't have the votes and one of the money. And one of the reasons we can't get the money is because we don't have a three-quarter vote. That might be something that would be on the list of a three-quarter vote to the minority so that we could forward fund education.
Thank you. Senator Olson, did you have a comment, question?
I just had a question, Mr. Chairman. It has to do with line 9, Mr. Teal. It's my understanding that if for some reason there's a shortfall in next year's education funding in it, that they're going to take $157 million out of the ASAP line project. Is that correct, if there's a shortfall at 98.6%?
Through the chair, the intention there of Section D is that you would take the balance carried forward from FY15, which is projections show that to be about $123 million. Then you would add the $157 million appropriated in Section C, and then you would add general funds to both of those to get you to 98.59% of the full formula funding.
Further question, Mr.
Chairman? Senator Olson.
So it's my understanding that almost no matter what, the $157 million is going to be gone next year from the ASAP, from the Alaska Standalone Pipeline. Is that true?
Through the chair, yes. Section C takes the $157 million from ASAP and appropriates it to the Public Education Fund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It does leave in that account money to continue. It does leave in that account money to continue working towards the pipeline.
Correct, and I believe it's instead of further reductions from the general fund or use the general fund money, there's less general fund money added into this to plus the 157, plus the other funds to get to the appropriations needed for education funding. Further questions,
Mr. Chair? We're going to. I'm going to vote against this, but are we going to have just a chance for comment and question of Mr. Teal at the end of this so I understand the overall impact of this budget? Or should I ask those now?
Ask your questions now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Teal, I guess I can't agree with the characterization that there's no cut. Last year, the one-time grant money was $43 million. This year, it was proposed to go down to $32 million, so that was an $11 million decrease, which basically offsets the $50 base student allocation increase in the budget. So by going from $43 million to $32 million under last year's education bill, it's basically flat funding. Then the $32 million disappears. The legislature, or at least the majority, has agreed to eliminating that $32 million along with the governor. And then another $18 million disappears. That's close to $50 million. That's close to $200 per student that's been cut since last year. And so I can't agree to that. And then Mr. Teel, I guess I've heard discussion of the CBR, and I've seen a lot of numbers move around. But this budget right here, is the anticipated revenue to fund this budget still seems to be billions of dollars short from the budget. Am I correct with that, or is this budget somehow fully funded?
Through the chair, could you clarify whether you're talking about FY15 or FY16?
FY16, Mr. Chair.
You are short approximately $3.2 billion.
So, through the chair, this is a budget that spends roughly $3.2 billion more than we have money for, and it's just not funded by, it's short funded by $3.2 billion roughly for FY16?
That's correct.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair.
I believe let's have some clarification on that. We have a deficit of over $3 billion because of the income coming to the state, loss of oil, total income to the state. I mean, I guess we could go down that line of discussion for a long, long ways, but I'd just soon stick right here. It's all better to keep this one tight. Senator Kelly, do you have a comment?
I was just going to say that the budget that we've put together here at the end of today's conference committee will be somewhere in the neighborhood of an $822 million real dollar cut from last year. Actually, I think Mr. Teel, in a side-by-side comparison, would probably claim that it's a $1.2 billion cut. But we have, the way we're counting, it's about an $820 million cut from last year.
We will get to closing discussions right now. We're going to pull it back to Amendment A-17. Is there further questions on A-17? For Mr. Teel?
No.
Is there any further objection?
I maintain my objection.
Representative Guerra maintains objection. For clarification, a yes vote is to accept Amendment A-17. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator McKinnon?
Yes.
Representative Guerra?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Representative Thompson?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Representative
Newman. Yes.
House, 2 yeas, 1 nay. Senate, 2 yeas, 1 nay.
I vote 4-2. Motion passes. Brief at ease. Distribute Amendment F. Meeting back to order. Senator Kelly?
I move that the committee adopt the following in the language section of the budget, and I move amendment number 29-GH1780/F.A.2 Wallace 416-15 relating to the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund and Higher Education Investment Fund, which addresses new language item 13.
Object.
Chair will object for purpose of explanation. Now, Mr. Teal, please describe your amendment to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, subsection A is the FY15 draw from or appropriation from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund that requires a supermajority vote to be effective. Section B is the FY16 appropriation from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund. It also requires a supermajority vote to be effective. Section C appropriates earnings or interest to the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund from the general fund if there is money drawn from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund for cash flow purposes. Typically, that's early in the fiscal year before revenue has flowed in. The state has cash flow needs. They may take a draw from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund. It's not considered a supermajority draw if it's paid back within the year. And in order to categorize it that way, it's considered a loan. That's why there's an interest provision or an appropriation of interest from the general fund that turns that into a loan. So it applies to both FY15 and to FY16. It does not require a supermajority vote. In Section D, that is the provision that says that Sections A and B require the supermajority vote. And in Section 32, that says that if there is a shortage of revenue to make the general fund appropriations for FY15, only FY15, the amount necessary to balance the general fund appropriations comes out of the higher education fund. As we mentioned earlier, this is a backstop language. After language items 6 and 11 were adopted by the conference committee as in FA17, that should have eliminated the deficit. That's because we started with about a $3.8 billion deficit. There's $2.8 billion in the statutory budget reserve fund, leaving us with a deficit of about $1 billion. By removing the FY15 deposit of $1.125 billion from the public education fund, we now have a surplus projected to be about $125 million in FY15. That may not be sufficient given the volatility of oil prices and revenue, so that if the revenue does not come through, this would appropriate money from the higher education fund to fill a deficit if it occurs. And Section 35 is the contingency language that says that Section 32, the draw from the higher education fund, goes into effect only if the supermajority vote fails.
Okay. Well, I will remove my objection. Further objection?
I maintain my objection.
Mr. Chairman, I've got a question.
We have an objection by Representative Guerra.
Yield to Senator Olson.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under Mr. Teel, under Section 31, subsection C, where it requires the majority vote, not the supermajority vote, in order to access the funds, has that happened in the past, in past legislatures when there have been shortfalls?
Through the chair, that language has occurred ever since 2004. In any draws, it was a legal opinion that just wanted to differentiate a short-term cash flow draw from a true supermajority draw. It's occurred in several budgets and been used frequently.
Senator Olson.
Since 2004, though, I think there's been surpluses in those intervening years, has there not, where it wasn't necessary to go ahead and access this? Is that not my understanding correct?
In most of those years, there were surpluses. In 2004 and 5, there was not.
And that's when this was implemented?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. David, in subsection C, the interest section, how much money are we talking about there, roughly, that's going to be transferred?
That's hard to say. Right now, it may be zero because draws from the CBR may not be able to be taken, the short-term cash flow draws, because in order to take those draws, the Department of Revenue and other certifying officers would have to say that there will be money there to repay those draws. So that conceivably they cannot certify that the money will be there. If there are no draws, there would be no interest. If there were draws made or borrowing from the CBR, that interest is minimal in terms of percentages. I think you would just pay at the rate that the general fund earns money, which is 1% or so.
And through the chair, so that amount, if there is a draw, that amount is, could you just give an estimate if the draws were allowed, a rough estimate of how much money we're talking about?
I can't. It depends on the cash flow needs. And I don't know what they might be.
Thank you. And then through the chair, Section 32 has language that allows money to be taken from the Higher Education Investment Fund. How much money is in there now, Mr. Teel?
Through the chair, it's approximately $460 million.
And then through the chair,
Representative Garrett.
Section 32, that just applies, that would just be used if we were short for FY15. If the budget is short for FY16, Section 32 does not come into play, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and then finally, through the chair, Mr. Teel, with this budget as we're looking at it, do you believe that a supermajority CBR vote is needed to balance FY16's budget?
Through the chair, the projected deficit is about $3.2 billion, and you have no language getting money from anywhere else. You're simply short $3.2 billion at this point.
And then through the chair, so the question is, do you believe that a supermajority vote would be required then to access that funds, those funds for FY16?
A supermajority vote would be required to access it from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund.
And just through the chair, you said a supermajority vote would be required to access it from this Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund. Is there any other fund identified in this budget to cover that $3.2 billion deficit, just so I know I haven't missed anything?
You haven't missed anything.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one further question.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Teel, under Section 30, going back to Section 31 again, subsection C, where a loan is essentially being taken and it's supposed to be paid back within a year, what are the consequences if this loan is not paid back in that year?
Through the chair, I don't know. As I said, the loans can't be made unless a finance officer can certify that the money would be there. So,
I guess the
at present, they would not be able to certify that the money would be there.
Senator Olson?
That's exactly my concern, Mr. Chairman. If we are able to go ahead and access it, and the projections for the, as you have presented yourself, Mr. Teal, it doesn't appear that we have the ability to go ahead and repay it within a year. Or am I mistaken somewhere?
Mr. Chairman, that was my point, that there may be no interest payments here at all because there may be no ability to draw.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Senate Finance Committee today discussed with the administration a cash deficiency plan. In addition, I believe that this administration has set aside the 10-year projection on how to fund budgets, so we're waiting to hear from the administration on what happens if there's no three-quarter vote. So, as I understand it, the majority has made an attempt to get a three-quarter vote and has not been successful to date. So we've left it with the administration to define to the legislature, specifically Senate Finance's request, to understand how they will access those funds, in what manner, and in what order.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Further objections or questions?
Mr. Chair, just in closing on my objection to this amendment.
Senator, Representative Gere.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Amendment A2.
On this budget reserve fund, I've got particular concern about draining or even tapping into the higher education investment fund. That's the money that we use for college scholarships, needs-based college scholarships, merit-based college scholarships. And draining that, I think, is premature. We have a memo from the administration that says for FY15, we have enough funds to get us through late August or early September. There's no need to dip into the higher education investment fund. There's no need to dip into the money we use for scholarships. We have enough money for FY15 to get through to the end of August. This legislature should be able to come up with a budget agreement before then. But this amendment, if it passes, will take money out of the higher education fund before this legislature is able to come up with an agreement on the budget. And so what you'll have is damage to our ability to fund scholarships, and I believe this legislature will be able to come to an agreement. So I'm not going to talk about the differences we have. I believe an agreement has to be made and can be made in short order, and I don't see any reason to put the Higher Education Investment Fund at risk under this amendment.
Senator McKinnon, would you like to comment?
Mr. Chairman, that's inaccurate. The only way that the Higher Education Fund will be touched is if FY15 somehow doesn't balance out between the reserves that have been identified to close out FY15.
Is that correct, Mr. Teal?
That's correct, and I think there's some confusion here over FY15 and 16. We've only got 2 months left in FY15 and a projected balance of $125 million. We should be safe, but again, given the volatility and uncertainty of revenue projections, this makes sure that we do have it covered. The Higher Education Fund currently contains approximately $80 million of, I don't want to call them excess funds, but they're excess earnings generated by the balance to the needs of the scholarships and grants. So that if there is money taken from this fund, it should be less than that, shouldn't impact either grants or scholarships in 16 or in the future. But again, it shouldn't be used. And I think you're referring to we have enough cash to get through September would be into FY16.
Just to back up.
Through the chair, it's been very clearly stated by the administration that we have enough money to fund FY15's our operations through August. So I still think this is an unnecessary part of the amendment.
Okay.
Further discussion? Representative Garrett, do you maintain your objection?
I do.
Representative Guerra maintains her objection.
Mr. Chairman, at ease, please.
Senator Rules.
At ease.
At ease. Meeting back in order. Mr. Guerra, is there further objections? Your objection maintained?
It's maintained.
Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Representative Guerra.
No.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Representative Newman.
Yes.
Senator Kelly.
Yes.
House. 2 yeas, 1 nay. Senate, 3 yeas, 0 nays.
Motion passes. This action closes the conferenceable items in the language section of the budget. I'll take a brief at ease. Call the meeting back to order. Senator Kelly.
I move that we give legislative finance and legislative legal the ability to make technical and conforming adjustments to the conference committee substitutes for House Bill 72 and House Bill 73.
Is there objection? Any no objection, this motion passes. Senator Kelly.
I move that the conference committee report, I move that the conference committee report out conference committee substitute for House Bill 72.
Is there an objection?
Is an objection.
We have an objection by Representative Guerra. Representative Guerra, speak to your objection.
Mr. Chair, I think I've spoken to it, so.
Is there further objections, comments? Representative Guerra maintains his objection to move the conference committee. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Representative Guerra.
No.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Senator Kelly.
Yes.
Representative Newman.
Yes.
House, 2 yeas, 1 nay. Senate, 3 yeas, 0 nays.
Motion passes. Senator Kelly.
I move that the conference committee report out conference committee substitute for House Bill 73.
Is there objection? Seeing no objection, this motion passes.
Mr. Chair,
I'm
sorry. I was late. I thought I was objecting to moving it out on the last motion. So I do object to moving it out. Wasn't that
House
the last?
73.
Oh, 73 is the mental health?
Yes.
No. Sorry. No. I withdraw the objection.
I didn't think so. Okay, there is no objection to moving House Bill 73. Main substitute for House Bill 73 from committee. So we'd like to thank our Vice Chair, Senator Kelly, and his staff, James Armstrong, Senator McKinnon, Senator Olson, Representative Thompson, and Garrett and their staff, David Teal, Amanda Ryder, and the exceptional crew at Ledge Finance and all the work that they do. Megan Wallace, the drafter of both bills over at Ledge Legal. Pat Bitt and the inner staff at OMB. Finance Committee assistants and secretaries. My staff, Pete Eklund and Dylan Brown. Is there any other business or any other comments from committee members? So, members' comments.
Got one last question, Mr. Chair.
Representative Guerra.
Thanks, Chair. There's the whole section on union contracts. It was item 8. And it references section 9 of House Bill 73. And I just don't recall there being anything on union contracts in House Bill 73. That's the mental health budget. Is that correct?
Steele?
Through the chair, House Bill 73 is the mental health budget, and the language in it parallels so that the language in the mental health bill is exactly the same as in House Bill 72, even though it may not be needed.
Through the chair, I guess I'm confused. That, as I recall, in prior action, this committee didn't approve the union a number of union contracts, but I don't know where they are in House Bill 73. So, were one to vote for House Bill 73, would they be voting on any of the union contracts that were addressed in prior committee actions?
Through the chair, the salary adjustments were all removed. They're removed whether they occur in House Bill 73. There may be some mental health salary adjustments. We don't really track them separately. So the language parallels. It's removed from both bills. The salary adjustments apply across the board, whether it's mental health or normal.
And I've allowed for a few questions, a couple questions here, but this is for closing comments before we move the bill.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any comments? Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn the conference committee.
Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, without objection, we are adjourned. Members need to stay and sign the report. Your work.